Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:38 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 17th. I suppose for anyone celebrating St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day, or in Irish, Bonnach Fianna Fáil Liv. But today has been an interesting day right across asset classes. I suppose starting off in Asia and the stock markets, there were upward dynamics right across the board, particularly in China, where we continue to see that there's a war going on between supply and demand, but demand seems to be slowly but surely gaining the upper hand, and provided it can hold above that upside Keeler reversal posted back in early February, we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to this sort of ranging upside. Elsewhere in Asia, Indonesia did particularly well, breaking upwards to new recovery highs, one of a small number of Asian markets to have completed that feat so far. Thailand also had a good day. You'll see in comment of the day when I posted that Indonesian banks have done particularly well over the last year. They pushed on to new all-time highs back in August, have been consolidating above their highs, and then pushed on to new high ground again today. And that really is all the more impressive, considering that there are a significant number of Western bank sectors that, when the Indonesian banks were pushing to new highs, they were still struggling to form basis. And at this juncture, we continue to see that the S&P 500 banks, and the regional banks in particular, are showing signs of leadership for the wider market, and that really is very positive action. But when you contrast that with the clear global leadership that's being shown by banking sectors in other regions, it really is an indication of where the opportunities or the relative opportunity lies, and the risk profile that's been attached to those markets. It's also of interest that when you look at something like Indonesia's CDS spread and it continues to contract, whereas when you look at the same spreads, and you'll find them all in the chart library, for countries like the UK or Greece or Dubai, but even for Germany or the USA, they have stabilized at levels that were probably higher than they were back before the Lehman bankruptcy. Whereas you have the CDS spread for Indonesia, which has actually contracted to below the average, and yields on their 10-year bond have contracted to below the average level that they were before the crisis, and that's really positive action. So that's just one example of a country that is beginning to get its economic act together from a governance standpoint, and provided the trajectory of governance continues to improve, then we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside over the medium term. Elsewhere, we saw that European markets were all generally firm, with Italy and the Netherlands both up by over 1%. Siemens also broke upwards in here, and that really does look like it can push upwards in here. In the USA, the S&P and the Dow Jones both improved upon yesterday's breakout, and the Nasdaq also pushed on upwards as well. Brazil continues to consolidate below the psychological 70,000 level, but it's less than 300 points away from that in here today, although down very slightly on the day. In the currency markets, the dollar was a little bit stronger. Oh, sorry, excuse me, that the prices have already ticked over into tomorrow. The dollar was weaker against just about everything. I was going to say the dollar was stronger against the euro. That simply wasn't the case. The dollar was weaker against just about everything, particularly against the pound, but against the Canadian dollar, we're into less than 1 cent of parity. The Australian dollar was also firmer, and it's up to 92 cents. And the Asian dollar index posted a new recovery high in here today. So while it's certainly not, there has been a great amount of commentary over the last few months, particularly about the strength of the US dollar, but that has been primarily against currencies that are really systemically weak, like the euro or the pound. And the dollar itself is not a strong currency, particularly when you look at it against some of the emerging market currencies or commodity-related currencies. It's really quite evident that the dollar bull story, it has been very much against the euro, and even against the euro, it has weakened over the last couple of days in particular. And it really would need to sustain a move below $1.35 now to offset scope for some short covering, even in the euro. So that is a generally bullish environment for commodities, and the industrial metals were all a bit firmer in here today, with copper pushing back up to test this $3.50 level. It's at $3.42.50 as I speak. Nickel has held its break above the 20,000 level and continues to look like the industrial metal that has possibly the best upside potential. The precious metals, gold was a little bit softer in here today, but silver was in the plus column, and palladium is up to $477, so a good positive performance. And platinum is in the region of 1630, so pushing right up towards its highs as well. And while we have short-term overbought conditions in some stock markets and some of the precious metals and maybe the industrial metals, nothing has happened to check the advance in the short term. Over the medium term, the February lows would need to be taken out, and they would need to sustain moves below the rising 200-day moving averages to question the medium-term advances. Monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative. Today's lower PPI figures suggest that inflation is not a problem, that they may even be encouraged to keep interest rates that bit lower for that bit longer to promote inflationary pressures. So this is a really favorable environment for risk-type assets, and stock markets, commodity markets, and corporate bonds are all doing well in this environment particularly. And since monetary conditions remain so accommodative in the USA, in Europe, in the UK, in Japan, that does really put out a lot of money into the market, or leaves the opportunity open for a leverage to be put on. And that is finding its home in risk assets, and suggests that the consolidation that took place in a number of risk assets for upwards of 4, some even 5 and 6 months, have to a large extent been completed. Mean reversions have taken place, and we're seeing an increasing number of markets breaking to the upside. And this is all in line with the bullish hypothesis. And unless we see failed upside breaks, if we see strong downward dynamics, that would certainly check the advances in the short term, but there's no evidence of that yet. Every day gives us additional markets that are breaking upwards to new recovery highs. Every day is showing us currencies that are breaking up to new recovery highs against the US dollar. And that's all very much in line with our first type scenario, which is really the best case scenario for stock markets following this ranging consolidation, which has been going on in some markets since October. In the Japanese market, the yen was relatively unchanged in here, but it is beginning to look like it can weaken against some rather important currencies. The yen against the Korean won is certainly one that looks like the yen can get significantly weaker in here. And against the euro, there is also room for the yen to depreciate. And were that to occur, then we could quite easily see the Japanese market begin to pick up pace and attract investor attention. And that the chart action, while lagging other markets, does suggest that the market is under accumulation. So Japan is certainly one to keep an eye on, and probably one that is will probably be a mistake to ignore over the coming months. In the government bond markets, the government bonds were relatively quiet in here, and the gilt in particular is continuing below this 115 level, which it correlates more or less with yields continuing to stay above this 4% level, which is a yellow light. And there has been an extraordinarily large amount of commentary about the potential for a hung parliament and whether the government should be tightening fiscal policy prematurely or not, or how much fiscal policy should be tightened. But the reality is that policymakers are going to be keeping a very close eye on that government bond yield. And if that yield starts pushing upwards from where it's hovering just above the 4% level, there isn't going to be an awful lot of choice about how much they are going to have to tighten, because bond markets will be demanding that a more stringent attitude is taken to the deficits that have been built up. So UK government bond yields are I think going to be a key barometer for the US or for the UK economy over the coming months. And I think with that I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.